Goranganya gana go to Goloru Haram. Goranga Gura Tamago Pyada Kopa Briksham. Gopala Gada Rati Dam Yati Singha Gora. Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami. Utama Adama Kichuna Bachira Jachiya Dile Kakola. Kahe Premananda Emona Goranga Hridoya Dariya Bola. Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare. Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare. Jejana Goranga Bhaje Sehoyamara Pranare. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yashyaiva padam bhuja bhakti labhya. Prema Bidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kuryat Kripaya Judi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala Bapahima Vanchakopadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hantaya Madhurabala Haridasavaryo Yad Rama Krishna Charanasvarasa Pramoda Manham Tanoti Sahagorgane Yustayoyat Paniya Suya Vasa Kandada Kanda Mulai Namo Brindavanankaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahma Tapatraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha. There's a nice verse which is composed by Srila Lochandas Thakur. By Srila Narahari Sakar, the guru of Lochandas Thakur, in his Mangalacharna for his Krishna Bhajanamrita. He says, Katakastu maha murka siddhantan adiduskaran katam kuryaditi mrisa vitarkan makrita buddhaha. He says that we have a problem today. The problem is that the speaker is a maha murk. He's a great fool. And we want to siddhantan adiduskaran. We want to speak on a topic which is a very, very subtle topic. And we're confused. How can we do that? So katam kriyaditi misha vitarkan ma krita buddha. We pray to all the learned and senior Vaishnavas who are present here today. And I see many of my Gurujanas and worshipful seniors here. We pray that you may bless me that we can say something. I feel a little shy in a sense, because what I want to try to speak about for the next few days is something which is actually very, very intimate. And I'm a little confused because I don't know how appropriate it actually is in this audience, because I don't know everybody. And to have proper Krishna Katha, there has to be some relationship with someone. There's three things required. Ramanujacharya describes in his Gita Bhashya commentary for Shravan Adhikar, to hear. He says there must be Pranipat, there must be Pariprasna, and there must be Seva. It's not a casual thing, just a program which is advertised and everybody comes, and sometimes it may be for some entertainment or some information collection. But there should be some intimate connection, and really that's what everyone is hankering for. But that intimate connection is based upon some faith, it's based upon some relationship between the speaker and the listeners. So we're going to try for that today, and please forgive me for my shortcomings. We'd like to explore something a little deep in the heart. We've been trying to dive very deep into this, these verses written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, which he's titled the Sri Govardhan Prarthana Basadasakam, or 10 prayers, actually 11 verses, but 10 prayers, begging for residence at Govardhan Hill. And for the last, I don't know, 4 years or something, we've been speaking consecutively about these verses, and this year I'd like to just do one verse. As we mentioned in our first year, we consider these prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami to be a kind of echo of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan in the Gambira. If you are present during the Holocaust, if you were there and you saw thousands of innocent men, women, and children being slaughtered, it would scar you in a psychic, mental way for the rest of your life. You wouldn't be able to forget that. So Raghunath Das Goswami was present in the Gambira with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was a witness to that Gora Gambira bhajan, that kirtan that Mahaprabhu was doing in the Gambira. We can't imagine how that must have scarred him in an amazing way. And so someone who lived through the Holocaust, or some terrific, horrific event like that, something which really made a deep impression on them, we could say that whatever they spoke in their life, whatever they did in their life after that, is a kind of echo of that event. And so similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami, we can't imagine what it must have been like to be there when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rubbing his face on the wall until blood is coming. And sometimes he's disappearing in the Gambira, and he's hearing from Srup Damodar Goswami and Roy Ramananda, the poems of Chandidas and Vidyapati and Jayadev Goswami, Bilvamangala Thakur, which express the inner feelings of Srimati Radharani. Raghunath Das Goswami was a witness to all that. And so his writings must be a kind of echo by that. They must have been affected by that. So this year we'd like to focus on the eighth text of this Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam. And I'd like to invite everybody to recite this along with me. They gave you a handout. I told Prashanta Mataji that I don't like giving out handouts, because I find that many times devotees, they just throw them away afterwards, and I prefer something on the screen, but it wasn't practical. So I'd like to request all of you to do something really nice with this handout. Keep it. And when you go back to your home, laminate it and stick it on the wall, one of the two sides, and you can look at it and remember this verse, maybe recite it sometimes, but let's not throw it away and waste it, or give it to some other friend or someone. So we can recite this together. Giri Nipa Haridasa Shani Vayeti Nama. You can do it responsibly. Giri Nipi Haridasa Shani Vayeti Nama Mritam Hidamuditam Siradika Vakra Chandrat. Praja Navati Lakatve Klipta Vedai Sputam Me Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Gobhadanatvam. Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Gobhadanatvam. So in each of these verses, he concludes, Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Gobhardhanatvam. O Giriraj, please grant me residence near you. And this refrain is very deep. It has a multitude of meanings. One meaning is, we could say, for Bahirmukh Janas, for external persons who think that the purpose of coming to Govardhan Hill is for my spiritual upliftment and for my purification. So therefore, let me have residence near you, Govardhan Hill, and then I'll become purified. But better than that is that let me understand that Giriraj is a person, and let me be close to you. And yet another meaning, depending on how you break up the Sunday, here in the printout, there's two words, Govardhanatvam, which means to reside near. But if you didn't break those two words up and they were one, and tva, just like we have the phrase Vaishnavatva, you may have heard that. Vaishnavatva means the quality of being a Vaishnav. So another meaning then, if you didn't break it up, is Govardhanatvam, is that please, Giriraj, please let me get similar qualities to you. And what are those qualities? We're hearing something about that in this verse today. O King of Mountains, from Sri Radhika's moon-like face was spoken your nectarian name, Haridasa Varya, the greatest among all devotees of Hari. The Vedas clearly describe you as a brilliant new tilak decorating the land of Braj. O Govardhan, please give me permanent residence near you. So this morning, I would like to give a little introduction and try to cover a few of our first points. I'd like to give a little bit of an overview. As we see is common in Vedic literature, many books begin with a question. Sometimes the greatest journey begins with a question. Sometimes the conclusion, the best conclusion, is a question. Questions are very, very profound. So we have seven questions that I want to try to cover in this verse. The first is, why is it that Giriraj is said to be the king of hills, Giri Nripa? And a sub-question to that, is it redundant for Raghunath Das Goswami to say Giri Nripa because he addressed Giriraj as Bhupa, also means a king, in the first verse? And in Sanskrit writing, that would be considered a kind of fault sometimes. You're saying the same thing twice. So why is it that he's saying here that Giriraj is the king of mountains? Secondly, Shani Varyeti Namamritam, why is it that Giriraj, why is it that Giriraj is Haridas? And this is the most important question I'd like to focus on. This topic is so big, I was debating with myself, maybe we should also continue the same verse next year, because there's no way we're going to be able to cover all the content in this verse within three sessions. Why is Giriraj described as Haridas? Is he Krishna? Is he devotee? We said something about that last night. And then the next question, Shreni Varyeti Namamrita. Shreni means so many multitudes of personalities. Varya means the best. Haridasa Varya. Giriraj is the best devotee. Varya means the best. So why is it that his name, particularly Nam, is Amrit, is particularly nectar? The next question, why is it that Raghunath Das Goswami is making a particular point, Idam Uditam Shri Radhika Vakta Chandrat, that this is spoken by the moon-like mouth of Srimati Radharani? Fourth question, Braja Nava Tilakate, why is Giriraj compared to Braja's Tilak? Braj is the topmost place. And Tilak has a number of different meanings. We'll discuss that later. One is a decoration or the topmost ornament. Why in particular is Giriraj considered to be, and there's so many wonderful places in Braj, why is Giriraj considered to be the Braja Nava Tilak, or the Tilak of Braj? And why does it describe, question number five, Klipta Vedai Sputam, that why is it that the Vedas are declaring that Giriraj is all these things? And what does that really mean? The Vedas are describing Giriraj? Have we heard any description in the Vedic literatures about Giriraj? Yes, we'll hopefully come to that. That's an interesting subject. A lot of these topics, all these topics, more or less, to some extent, were covered in our last magazine, Krishna Katamrita magazine, about Govardhan Hill. And if you want to try to understand them, this is our little commercial announcement, but not just for selling something, but to help the listeners. Do I have some copies available here? And you can read more about these topics. At the same time, if you've read this magazine, we're also planning on going into topics deeper in certain points that are not found in the magazine also. Mm-hmm. And then our main question we already asked, why is Giriraj described as a devotee? And a seventh question, then we may question, a sub-question of that, what is the stress on Giriraj Govardhan as a devotee? So this morning, I want to try to cover this first two words, Giri Nripa. Nripa means the king. So already in text one, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's described Giriraj as Nijapati. He says twice that two different reasons why Giriraj may be considered to be the Bhupa, or why he's the king of mountains. And the first is Atula Pritula Shaila Shreni Bhupa Priyame. The Giriraj, he's the incomparable great mountain. Mm-hmm. Atula means incomparable. Atula Pritula. Pritula means great. He's the incomparable great Shaila. Shaila means mountain. And Shreni, there's a whole series. Mountains are often collected together. We were just in the Bhubaneswar airport day before yesterday, flying to Delhi to come here. And I was listening to some Western persons who were there in the airport, and they were talking about their travels. And one of them was saying, I was just in China, and I was on the other side of the Himalayas, at the foot of the Himalayas. So the Himalayas are a Shreni. They're a series of mountains. But Giriraj is considered to be the topmost of all of those. Why is this? One, this is one reason. In the Garga Sanhita, Narad Muni, in the third canto of the Garga Sanhita, he's explaining to Maharaj Bahulasva about the greatness of Govardhan Hill. And he says, Kshana matrena vaidehi laksha yojana vishtritam satakotir yojanam lambitam seshavat punaha. That Giriraj Govardhan, he's 800,000 miles wide. Okay? And he's 8 billion miles long. How is it, Pancharatna Prabhu, how, I think the planet Earth is about 8,000 miles wide, someone said. Is that correct? Does anybody know? Yeah, and the so Giriraj Govardhan, he's 8 billion miles long. Means much, much bigger than this entire planet. And he goes on to say, Urdvam samunatam jatam panchasat koti yojanam karindra vatstitam sasvat panchasat koti vishrutam. The Giriraj, he's Panchasat Koti Yojanam. He's 4 billion miles tall. And he says that Stitam Sasvat, he's eternally 4 billion miles tall. There's some defect with our sense perception. We only see a little something. But Giriraj is 5 billion miles tall. So Giriraj is the greatest of all the mountains. But this was already covered in the first verse. So why here Girinripa? Why is he again saying, is this the fault of repetition? Another reason why Giriraj is in the first verse, the Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam, that Raghunath Das gives, why Giriraj is the greatest devotee. He says that Nija Pati Bhuja Dandach Bhavam Prapadya. Prapadya means to attain the bhava, the mood of the Nija Pati. Nija Pati means your Lord, your Pati. Dandach Chatra, that he became the mood of the umbrella of Krishna. And so he's the king of all the mountains because Krishna personally lifted him. He became this umbrella, and therefore he's greater than any other mountain. We've never heard of any other mountain that Krishna lifted to protect the residents of Govardhan Hill. So he's greater he's the king of mountains for these two reasons. Atula Pritula Shaila Shaini, because he's much greater in size than all the mountains combined together. One. And two, because Nija Pata Bhuja Dandach Chatra, he became the personal umbrella for Krishna. So then why is Raghunath Das Goswami saying in this verse, why is he repeating the same point, Giri Nripa, that Giriraj is the greatest of kings? Well, he answers in the next word, because Giriraj is Haridas, because he's a servant. And being Haridas is an even greater position than Atula Pritula Shaila, being greater in size than all the mountains. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, trying to remember the Bengali, he wrote one article in Bengali which we could translate means better than being big is to be good. So it's not such a great thing to be big. We're not so impressed by that. But much better than that is to be good. And what is the best of all things is to be a devotee. And this is an introduction now to the main topic we're going to try to cover, a very, very esoteric subject, which I think, frankly, even in our society, many devotees haven't really contemplated very much, much less digested, which is how is it that Bhagavan becomes a bhakta? And how do we relate to that personality? So Giriraj is Haridas. And Haridas is a greater position than this big physical position of being the greatest of mountains. And it's even a better position than Nijapati Bhuja Dandach Chaturbhavam, than being Krishna's personal umbrella. This is a very, very deep thing. Why? Our next point we come to then. Why is Giriraj, his name, described as Shreni Varyeti Nam Amrit? That his name is the greatest of nectar. Well, because this is reflecting back on the previous point, that Giriraj is Haridas. That being a Das, being a Haridas, is even better than being Krishna. Krishna himself, in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, chapter 19, he says, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadika, worship of my devotee is better than worship of me. So Raghunath Das Goswami is indicating this point, that Giriraj, Girinripa, he's the king of all the mountains because he's Haridas. And that Haridas, Shreni Varyeti Nama, Namamrit, it's a completely nectarian thing. And why nectar? Because, number one, because being a devotee of the Lord is better worshiping the devotee is better than worshiping the Lord himself. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a description. I can sing this and you can chant responsively. Amara bhaktera puja ama hoite boro Sehi Prabhu Vedi Bhagavate Kaila Dada Bolo Hare Krishna. He says, Amara Bhaktara Puja Amahoiti Boro. That worship of my devotee is better than worship of me. And again, in Chaitanya Bhagavad, he gives this pramana from 11th canto, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadika, very famous and important verse. If we want to understand Gaura Leela, and we're trying to understand Giriraj Govardhan through the window of Gaura Leela, just like we take many devotees on parikrama in Jagannath Puri, and there are many, many doorways to that place. And depending on which doorway you go through, you're going to see a particular aspect of the Dham. You're going to have a particular understanding of it. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us that in the case of Jagannath Puri, we begin by going through the doorway of Bhubaneswar and Lingaraj Mahadev, who he described as being Gopishwar Mahadev, because we want to go through the doorway of Vrindavan. But then when you come into Vrindavan, there's other many, many doorways also. And then we go through another doorway, which is the doorway of Rupa Goswami's place, Satyabhamapur, which is a place where Rupa Goswami had his dream of Satyabhamadevi. Now we've entered into a Vrindavan conception, but then even finer, we want to go through the doorway of Rupa Goswami. So we want to understand in our presentation, in our discussion, we want to understand Giriraj Govardhan not in the same way that the Brijbasis do. And we'll discuss this a little more later. They address Giriraj as Bapa or as father. But we want to understand Giriraj by the conception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then that's another entrance, we come inside, and then there's a number of other doors. Now we want to go through the door of Raghunath Das Goswami. When we go through the door of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find many other doors, all the followers of Mahaprabhu, but there's one door we want to go through, which is a follower, the doorway of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he's indicating that Giriraj is Girinripa, the king of mountains, because he's Haridas, because he's a devotee. And that name is Shreni Varieti Namamrita. It's full of nectar. Why is it full of nectar? Well, first reason, because being a devotee is the greatest nectar. Sometimes we ask a question, a riddle, which actually has relevance with our discussion today. I wasn't thinking to mention this, but it just came to me. It's a three-part riddle, and it's the basis of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta. It should be the most simple, obvious answers. Question number one, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Who would you say? That in a way that everybody would accept. Some people say Srila Prabhupada, but some persons in other sampradayas may not accept that. But if you say Srimati Radharani, then I think everybody would accept that. And then the next question comes, what quality makes Srimati Radharani the greatest devotee? This is a very subtle point, a little harder question. The answer to that part of the riddle is that she relishes Krishna more than anyone else. And that's a little hard for us to understand because we generally relate to something, to relishment is something selfish that is for my personal enjoyment. But Srimati Radharani's relishment is not for her personal enjoyment. It's a manifestation of her ecstatic love. And Krishna receives and accepts that relishment of hers as the most wonderful thing. He becomes so greedy, which comes to our third question, what is the best proof of the first two questions, that Radharani is the greatest devotee and her greatest quality is that she relishes Krishna. What's the best proof of that? Can someone say? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest proof of that. Mm-hmm. So Raghunath Das Goswami here, in a connected way with our riddle perhaps, he's giving a second reason why Shreni Varyeti Namamrita, why this name Haridas is Namamrit, because Idam Uditam Sri Radhika Vakta Chandrat, because it comes from the mouth of Srimati Radharani. Mm-hmm. And this is appropriate. He's giving a very nice poetic example here. He's saying, Namamrit Udi Idam Uditam Sri Radhika Vakta Chandra. Chandra means the moon. And from the moon comes nectar, Amrit. Similarly, from the moon of Radhika's mouth comes this Amrit, that Giriraj is the greatest of devotees. So we would like to consider this point in a deeper way over the next few days. And we have a number of questions before us, because devotees oftentimes become confused about this topic. Is Giriraj a devotee, or is Giriraj Krishna? And I find there's a lot of speculation. Some devotees say, well, maybe both, and maybe worshiping as a devotee, that's Raghunuga Bhakti, but it's not exactly said like that anywhere. How do we reconcile these two things? How do we understand the position of Giriraj Govardhan? The Brijbasis, we may begin with their conception. They address Giriraj as Baba, the great personality, or as Rupa Goswami describes in one of his prayers, Bapa. The Bapa means that personality who maintains us and who takes care of us. And this is the conception of the Brijbasis from the time of Krishna. Because Krishna himself told Nanda Baba, when he saw that they were getting ready to perform a ritualistic sacrifice. And where was that ritualistic sacrifice being performed? This is a topic we spoke about in the Bhakti Sangam Festival recently in Ukraine. And I'm not going to go in that direction now, but it's a very interesting point. In the village of the Vedic Brahmins. And why? What is the significance of that? Sridhar Swami's Bhavartha Deepika commentary mentions that it was in the village of the Vedic Brahmins where Nanda Baba and the Brijbasis began performing their ceremony. I'll fluff this out a little bit. It's a very interesting point. Kavi Karnapur and Ananda Brindavan Champu, when he describes the beginning of the sacrifice, he says the same thing that all of our acharyas and all the descriptions say, that Krishna came to his father and he said, Father, what is the sacrifice going on? But Kavi Karnapur, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but he says a very interesting thing. He says that Krishna came to his father and he said, Bapa, why is everybody running around like they're crazy? And he says, in such a mechanical way, that was a phrase, and that's there in the Sanskrit. Why are they running around in such a mechanical way? So that worship of Giriraj that was going on, that worship of Indra is a mechanical kind of worship. And that's something which is meant to be done by the Vedic Brahmins. And therefore they left Nandagaon, because Nandagaon is the place where Krishna is supreme, where Krishna is everything. And so they have to go to another place to be involved in some ritualistic worship. And why is it that it was arranged there for the Brahmins? Because Krishna wanted to show some favor to them. Because previously he'd given mercy to their wives, but they weren't qualified. And the Bhagavatam describes why they weren't qualified. Although they were lamenting, they were saying, to hell with our learning, to hell with our celibacy, to hell with our second initiation, to hell with all of our sacrifices. Our wives, they understood who Krishna was, but we didn't recognize him. So then why didn't they just go? And the Bhagavatam says, because they were afraid of Kamsa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his explanation of Krishna's Braj Leelas, he says that Kamsa represents the head of mundane religion. And the wives of the Brahmins represent persons who are under the control of people who whose faith is not as developed as theirs, whose faith is more mechanical. And so they were afraid to go, because if we go, we're going to lose out on he's not going to give us any more money. Kongsa, he's not going to maintain us, and even worse, he might punish us in some way. So they were afraid to go. But Krishna wanted to give them some mercy. Why did he want to give them mercy? They were rascals. But he wanted to give them mercy because they had some good wives. So there's some hope. If you're a man and you marry a good wife, just like Kaliya was a boat badmas, a big rascal. But he had some good wives. And because he had some good wives, there was some hope for him. And so similarly, these Vedic Brahmins, because their wives were great devotees, they got the opportunity to see Krishna. And Krishna told his father that, Bapa, what are we doing? What is this worship for Indra? And he asked him some interesting questions. He said, is this a Vedic ceremony? Or is this some popular thing? And that's also a very significant point in our understanding of Giriraj Govardhan, indirectly. Because Maharaj Nanda, he replied, this is in Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami, Nanda Maharaj replied to Krishna. He said that, well, it's a local tradition. And we don't really exactly know why we do it. Basically, he was saying that. But because we've been doing it for so long, we consider it to be Vedic. That's a very interesting thing. And if we look around us in our own lives, in our own society, sometimes there's many things that we do. Better maybe I don't even say some of them, because devotees may become disturbed with me questioning some of the things that we do. But you should think about, why do we do certain things in our worship? And some things that we do, it's just, I don't know, it's just what we do. Because everybody else does it. It must be Vedic, Prabhu. Because everybody else does it. So Krishna wants to break with that. He wants to break with the mechanical worship of the Vedic Brahmins, exemplified by going to their village. And he tells his father then, no, father, we shouldn't worship Indra. And who is Indra? Indra is the king of the demigods. The demigod worship is recommended in the Vedic literatures. And of all the demigods, Indra is the king of them. He's Devaraj. So he's kind of like the epitome of demigod worship. And what is that demigod worship? That's the epitome of something which is ritualistic, something which is mechanical, something which is external. And Indra worship is the epitome of all that. And Giriraj, in his very first verse, Raghunath Das Goswami described, I won't go back to that so much, but he described three types of pride that Indra had, and why Giriraj smashed those types of pride. So Giriraj is very intimately connected in different ways, Raghunath Das Goswami is indicating in the first verse, with Indra. So Krishna tells his father, Bapa, but why should we worship Indra? We've worshipped Indra for so long, but Indra's never come to us. Have you ever seen him, father? He's a big, big demigod. I recall very sweetly how my mother, Jagatarni, was describing this a few years ago in her katha about Giriraj. She was quoting, this is a point from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, that Krishna's telling his father, Bapa, Giriraj, he's a big, big demigod. We're just village people. Why would Giriraj why would Indra want to come to us? He's a big, big demigod. We're just small village people. But Giriraj, he's practical. We're dealing with Giriraj every day. And therefore, the Brijbasis, from the very beginning, Krishna's speaking in a way, he's saying that Giriraj, he provides everything for us. He gives everything to us. He gives the grass for our cows. He has trees on his hills which provide shade and which provide fruits. He has different vegetables and things growing at him. He provides water. He provides so many things. We're dependent upon Giriraj Govardhan. He's a practical Devata. He's some practical personality to worship. Why should we worship Indra? And so this conception is still there today that many of the Brijbasis, they worship Giriraj as Baba. But there's also different layers of that conception of Baba. We should mention at the outset. It's not that what some people's conception of Baba is, like the Christian conception, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us some bread, and today I would like whole wheat bread. And that's the purpose of God. And sometimes we say God is a baker. He's just here to serve me. And there's a selfish kind of conception sometimes for a child where he sees his father, just like we were speaking to some young boys a few days ago. And I asked one of the boys, I said, how do you get your laundry done? And he says, the washing machine does it. And I said, you have a laundry service or something? I said, the washing machine walks into your room and picks up the clothes and puts them in himself and washes it. And he was a little confused. And he wasn't thinking. I said, your mother does it. Oh, yeah, I guess she does. He didn't even consider that. I mean, that's just why God created mothers, right, to wash my clothes. And so some people have a similar conception with Krishna, with God, or with Giriraj Govardhan. And that's a selfish conception. But when we say the original Brijbasis saw Giriraj as Bapa, or someone who provided things, it doesn't mean they have a selfish conception. They love Giriraj, because Giriraj is supporting all of their services to Krishna. And therefore he's a father. They're not just wanting some food for themselves, some nourishment, or some shelter, but they want to serve Krishna. Their life and soul is service to Krishna. And Giriraj is serving that in so many different ways. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Krishna's words to Nanda Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. He says, Kincha ga varayeti iti govardhana iti vyutpate. That he's Govardhan because he's Govardhana. He nourishes all the cows. And therefore he's Bapa. He's like father. But we want to understand, what is the conception of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We worked on this magazine for over 20 years because I wanted to find some things about Giriraj that devotees didn't know. Because my Guru Maharaj told me that when we do this publication, we should print things in a way which will help the prestige of Prabhupada's mission, his society. And he said we should have nice Krishna Katha, nice Vaishnav dealing. So we did a lot of research. And As part of that, we interviewed different Brijbasis. I mean, went different places with them around Govardhan. And we heard a lot of their conceptions. You won't find many of those conceptions in the magazine because they were a little far out. And they weren't really according to the conception of Raghunath Das Goswami or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But how do we see this? Basically, they're seeing him as Bapa, as a father, someone who provides things to us. And even amongst the Brijbasis, Srila Prabhupada sometimes instructed the devotees that don't come too close to the Brijbasis. If we come too close, they may pickpocket you. That's a common thing today. Or they may say something which makes you very confused. Or you may see that they're behavior is not exactly according to the sadachara, the behavior that we consider to be proper for Vaishnavas, and you may criticize them. They may have some philosophical conception which we find to be very outlandish or even disturbing. So we want to associate with the Brijbasis who are residents of Vrindavan by dint of their association with Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Srila Prabhupada, but we also give respect to these Brijbasis. So this is one conception of Giriraj as Bapa. And tomorrow I'd like to give a kind of introductory discussion initially about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception and how it's confusing, because Mahaprabhu describes Giriraj as Krishna very clearly to Raghunath Das Goswami, but as we'll discuss tomorrow, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least twice in the biographies, once in Murari Gupta's biography and once in Chaitanya Charitamrita, also indicates Giriraj as a devotee. So how do we reconcile these two things? Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he says that if there's an apparent contradiction between things, we should try to reconcile that. So according to my clock here, it's 17 minutes after the hour. I'd like to stop now and be on time so Prashanta will be happy with me. And if anybody has any reflections, it's something that really struck you, that you liked, you'd like to remember, I would appreciate if you shared that with us. And then maybe some question. Reflections are nice because it helps me to know that not everybody fell asleep. During the katha. Does anybody have any reflections, something that you liked, that you appreciated from today? Krishna Kund.
I was always wondering about this
concept. Is there another mic that we can give her? Easily and quickly, yeah. Thanks, Prabhuji.
I was always wondering where this conception is coming from about the Vijbasis seeing you as just Baba. Uh-huh. That he's the maintainer, he's providing, and I really couldn't put it together. And it's so simple.
It comes from the original Vijbasis.
Yeah, it was Krishna who told them to think that way. Krishna who described it very elaborately, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else with any reflections or Mataji? And then on a Pioneer Radha.
Мне вот очень интересно то, что как Харидас. Не знаю, кто будет переводить.
You're speaking in Russian? It's okay. Just say in Russian, and then she'll translate.
For me, very interesting that Гирирадж is Харидас.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting, I don't know, point or team. Oh, как это сказать? Тема. Topic, very interesting topic, and I wonder it all.
You found it very interesting that the Giriraj is a devotee.
Yeah.
And that is a very, very deep point. Why is he Haridasa Varya? We'll speak more about that hopefully tomorrow on the next day. Varya means the greatest. And in their commentaries on this verse, Hantaya Madhura Bala Haridasa Varyo, from the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, our acharyas have described that there's different personalities who are described as Haridas. Yudhisthira Maharaj is described as Haridas. And different personalities. But why Giriraj is Haridasa Varya? He's the best of all the devotees. And that has something to do, to give you a little clue, with Sri Radhika Vakta Chandrat, that is coming from the mouth of Srimati Radharani. Thank you. Anupaini Radha? You want to pass it to her? Oh, Mataji. Give it to her first.
I was thinking that's interesting. You said that we have to understand Giriraj through Lord Chaitanya.
Uh-huh.
And Lord Chaitanya is in a similar situation. He himself is a devotee, and
yes,
he's Krishna himself. And one more thing, but anyway.
I'm so happy you said that. Because we're going to try to understand Giriraj through Mahaprabhu, not just through the words of Mahaprabhu, but through Mahaprabhu's ontological position, if ontological is a big word for some people, his ultimate innate position, and it'll help us to understand the position of Giriraj. Is that the same thing you wanted to comment on?
Yeah, actually, it's the same thing which I wanted to share also. And another thing, I was surprised that you started to speak about Raghunath Das Goswami in the connection with Gambhira Lila, and this is give some start of understanding. And I was so surprised about this. Thank you. I hope you will elaborate more on it.
We like this topic very much. Actually, we're having a book translated right now by a friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's named Rasika Mohan Vidyabhushan, who is a descendant of Srinivasacharya and born and raised in a Gaudiya Vaishnava family. He wrote many, many books. And one of the books was called Gambhiraya Sri Gauranga. And it's about Mahaprabhu and the Gambhira. And very, very deep thing. This Gambhira Lila is the essence of all of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now, you may say, why are we speaking about Gambhira Lila here at Govardhan? And Gambhira Lila is for Jagannath Puri, but Gambhira Lila is also for here, as we pointed out, because that Gambhira Lila must have had some impact on Raghunath Das Goswami. And we're seeing that in his writings. So thank you, Anupaini Radha. So we'll continue this discussion then tomorrow. Thank you very much. Bologiriraj Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktabinda ki, Gaur Premanande, Vansha Kalpatarubhyas cha, Kripa Sindhubhyaiva cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Ananda Kodi Vaishnavrinda ki.